Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We welcome you on this 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. How are you this morning, Bishop?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. How are you?
Glad to be along with you.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are listening today.
We wish all the fathers listening this morning a very happy and blessed day, and we thank them for their gift of fatherhood. In today's gospel, we hear about the mustard seed and images of planting and growing. If you would share that with us now, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed that, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were unable to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we see many times in the Gospel, Bishop, when talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus uses images and terms that his disciples, as well as the people of Galilee, could understand. And in this case, it was about the mustard seed.
Right. It's the kind of an agricultural approach through parables, using things, as you said, that people could certainly understand. And I think, you know, in our own day, I remember I've mentioned this before, but a pastor, when I was a deacon in England, he told me to always notice that people who are close to the land and close to the sea will understand better or easier the parables of the Lord. And I think that's true. I mean, a farmer would certainly understand this whole process that I've spoke to a few of them in the last few weeks, being in parishes out in the farmlands of our diocese. And so, you know, we understand the nature of growing and nature's cooperation with growing. So all of these things are very real. So I think, you know, there's a certain process here that Jesus is pointing to, and that the kingdom of God, which means the, as we talked about, we've talked about several times, about the seed of God, the word of God, the kingdom of God being planted into our hearts. It's not an instant magical show that something's going to happen. Again, I like to refer, because I love doing the confirmations with all the young people. They're quite amazing. But, you know, I keep saying nothing's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, maybe, but you're going to be the same person tomorrow. It's a matter of cooperating with the elements of faith, the elements of the Holy Spirit working, which is, you know, through the sacraments, through the word planted in your heart, you're listening to it, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these are the kind of the materials that you use, but it's not going to happen overnight. To experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace and generosity and kindness and gentleness, that takes a lifetime really to develop that, to allow the word, I should say. And I want to stress, allow the word to take root in us for that to happen. So when Jesus is talking about the seed being scattered and the farmer sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising and watching a sprout come, and then the blade and the ear and then the grain, all of that, it takes time. I'm in cooperation with that. And that's how God works in each of our lives.
It's a journey.
It's a journey. And I want to point out something that one of the young people said to me at confirmation once. I was talking about their saints, and one young girl, I just have her words kind of planted in my mind and my heart, but she spoke about her saint, St. Maria Goretti, and how she resisted the assault of the young man next door named Alessandro, that she said she belonged to Jesus and that she would not give in to him, to his attacks. And he told her that if she didn't, that he would kill her. And she said that she would not give in to him, and so he did kill her. And, you know, amazingly, before she died, she forgave him. But the young girl in confirmation was explaining that, or she told me the story. And I just looked at her and I said, would you do the same if that something like that ever happened to you? And she did not hesitate and looked at me and said, Bishop, I would hope so. And, you know, the bishop's there proclaiming the word of God, but in a sense, she proclaimed it back to me just hour before confirmation, because it struck me so much, the innocence of those words, I would hope so. And I think that speaks to our gospel today. The seed is planted, the Holy Spirit is given, but it takes time. And to just use the word hope, I would hope so, means that through life we prepare ourselves for these moments. There's no magical drive-through here. It's a life that's lived, a life that's conformed to the Word of God, that's conformed to the beauty of the sacraments, lived faithfully. All of that is that land, the rain, the sun, all of those elements are there. And it's God then that does the work, that brings up the blade, the ear, the grain, until it's ripe. So it's a cooperation with that. What this gospel says to me, the first part, because we have two parts here, with the second with the mustard seed, but this first part really is saying that this whole process of growing into Christ, being holy, takes the power out of our hands. We can't force the process. You can't force the process of being holy. You cooperate with it. But holiness is God's grace, from God's grace, giving all the tools and the elements, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to allow this to happen with time. And, of course, the other elements for us are, you know, loving our neighbor, being of service to others, reaching out to the poor. So all of that is how to say, the raw elements of allowing God's power, his grace, to work in and through us, to not only bring us to a holiness of life, but also for us to proclaim the gospel by word and example in our own lives, to bring others to the truth of Jesus as well.
When we've talked about this before, the question that comes to mind for me is, how does this happen? And we've also talked about the need for quiet reflection to help make it happen.
Right. And you know, all of these things, you know, it does take the time to step back and to say what has happened. I think a review of life is essential for us. Otherwise, we just keep living day to day as a routine. And certainly, if we are living with God, if we are living the gospel, it should not be routine. Even coming to Mass, you know, there's so many people complain, well, it's the same old thing. Well, it's not unless you are. You know, every time I say Mass, which is every day, there's something new in my life. There's something that has struck me, and I bring that. The words might be the same, but the experience of life, the difference of my life, enlightens the words of the prayers, which are all biblical anyway, it enlightens the words of those prayers, or if you're reading a psalm or something like that, it enlightens them because I'm different. God never changes. God's word is eternal. But I'm different, or you're different, and the grace begins to work when we take that time quietly to reflect, even using, you know, the same words. So the thing is, in society today, we all want to have the power over our own selves, over our the events of our life, where we're going, et cetera, et cetera. We want to have this kind of control. You know, people want to have control over their body. They want to have control over their destiny. They want to have control over their work. They want to have control over everything. And when you read this first part of the gospel with the sowing of the seeds, there's a mysterious power that happens beyond my sight, that God does his work through his grace in allowing the word of God to grow in me beyond what I can do or control myself.
Yes, that idea of control, an all too familiar one, because we all want to be in control, and sometimes we need to just step back and let God lead us according to his will.
Just take an airplane flight in the middle of a storm and have it canceled. And all of us know that scenario, and you feel in those, you're just out of control. You're not in control. I shouldn't say you're out of control. You're not in control. And sometimes we go out of control with our emotions because we want it the way we want it. But, you know, just in a simple scenario like that, to arrive at the airport every time and say, Lord, I put my life in your hands, and you may get there on time, you may not. But as you're talking about the reflective part, if I don't get there on time, how did I handle? What happened when I finally land somewhere and have a little time of reflection? What happened? Who did I meet? What were my reactions to things? And you know, there's some beautiful things that can happen if we allow the seed to grow through God's grace.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back. We appreciate you being with us on this Sunday morning. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. We're reflecting on today's gospel, and in the second part of the gospel, we talk about what parable can be used to describe the kingdom of God, and Jesus begins to speak about the mustard seed.
Yeah, you know, whenever I see this, I always think of the teaching of St. Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower. Mm-hmm. She was a young girl, wanted to enter the convent early. Was not allowed, and then I don't think you could do this today with all the crowds, but in her day with her father was in Rome, and somehow got an audience, you know, got stepped in front of the Pope and asked permission to go to Carmel, to the Carmelite cloister early, and she had her sisters in there as well, but there's, you know, the story. But anyway, she wanted to do great things, be a missionary. She wanted to go around the world. She wanted to do everything. But she realized that this was her vocation. And anyway, she wrote her whole doctrine, which now she's a doctor of the church, but her whole doctrine is on the little way. And I think of her when I think of the mustard seed, because it is a small seed. And there's so often that our society really promotes great things. If the bigger, the better, the more is better. And we forget the little things, the little realities. And our life is really a compilation of little things. When we try to embrace life and to embrace the future and always as it has to be big. It has to make a splash. It has to do all this kind of stuff. I think we miss the true meaning of life. It's in the little things that God speaks in the little things through little children. The young girl that I mentioned earlier, you know, you can skip over those kind of moments when someone says something, I would hope so, in reference to wanting to be a saint. You know, I would hope so. That's a small thing, and I'm not even sure that she remembers saying it, but it hit right. Me. very, very strongly. So it's a little reality, but you know, our life is, it has to reflect the smallness of things as well. When we have to have, you know, the loudest, the best, the biggest, the most famous, and we get caught up in that too often in a flashy society like ours, and we miss the wisdom of a grandmother, the cry of a baby, you know, those things. We need to appreciate all of that because all of that's God's work. So I think, you know, the point I would make here with this part of the parable on the mustard seed growing into the largest of the bushes where birds can come and nest, etc. And this is a parable that the Lord speaks. But if we allow ourselves to really focus life more on those little things, and not just focus, but to let them happen in our life, that we'll begin to see God's plan revealed and unfold in our life. And what does it take? It takes an openness, or the classical reality for us with the Holy Spirit is docility to the Holy Spirit. The more docile we are, that doesn't mean passive, it doesn't mean unengaged in life, but it means a docility to see. Because if I'm filled with myself, if I'm filled with noise, filled with the glitz and glamour of things, I'm going to miss the small things in life. And so the docility that is necessary in our life in order for the Holy Spirit to be recognized in the works in us and the works around us is so, so important.
And that's a very good point that you bring up, Bishop, thinking about the little things, because it's very easy to just pass them by.
Right. Well, I was at a workshop once, and you know, I was looking at big issues in the church. It was kind of a beginning initiative, a new initiative to really look at all the profound divisions, the polarization that's in the church, within the church, but in society as well. And, you know, we try to study those things and to resolve them, to bring out new theories of how to get rid of that stuff. But we were broken into smaller groups as well. And there was a couple of bishops and some theologians, philosophers, mainly from Catholic universities. And it was a great experience to be there. But at lunch one day at our table, I was just struck again, you know, like the young girl that said, I would hope so, Bishop, you know. Mm-hmm. But he said something, because there was a lot of high-powered and very, very good talks on what's needed and how to approach this issue. But this young, well, he was, you know, probably in his 40s, but taught philosophy at one of the major Catholic universities of the country. But he just simply said, you know, in the 2 days we've been here, I haven't heard the word humility. It's like, right, you know, that's that docility that I'm talking about. And I thought that was so profound from someone, you know, who teaches philosophy and very intelligent and looking at this huge issue with polarization in the church and the rancor that's going back and forth, even among Catholics against each other and left and right and conservative. And he just used the word humility. He said, I haven't heard much about humility. And that's where it starts. And I think it takes us back to the mustard seed. The more that we are the mustard seed, the more that we use our talents, and I don't mean we put them aside, but the more that we use our talents embedded in humility, the closer we'll get to the kingdom of God. Because trying to create it ourselves, trying to push our agendas, even having these kinds of agendas, pointing fingers at others, competing with others, proselytizing, that's, to me, that's beyond, wasn't even in the mind and the heart of Jesus. But to have the humility to use the talents that God gives us, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Christ and His church, to use all of that to bring a message of peace, a message of harmony, of unity, of love. That's what we need in the midst of all of this. Certainly we have to face the issues. And, you know, we're not called to go out and scream at one another or scream at the, quote, enemy. we're called to be docile, to be humble, and to speak the truth. To me, that's where God's grace can really work. And all of this takes time. It's when we resist this approach that we lose hope, that we lose energy, that we become angry, etc. And then we're really not good for much when we come to that point. The Christian is never an angry person, never a person with a scowled look on their face, but one of joy. And that working together with others in the world that are concerned about different issues, the more we pull together as the mustard seed with humility, looking at the problems honestly, searching for God's will and how we can move forward. This is the approach I think that the kingdom of God presents to us and what we really need to take heed with in the present environment that we live in.
It's interesting that you talk about the humility and you still need to deal with the problems, but there's a different way to deal with them.
Exactly. It's the way that we do it, because one will be permanent and will have a true effect, because the person that is humble in approach has the credibility to speak in the name of the kingdom of God. The one that's angry is kind of pushed aside and not listened to.
You mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit more about this issue of religious liberty.
This issue of religious liberty, it is not just the right guaranteed to me by our Constitution, but it's written in my heart that I can worship God not only in the cathedral or in a chapel in private prayer, but I can demonstrate my faith, my belief, even in the service to people. And it's certainly becoming true that it's a creeping giant when people are finding new ways to limit the liberty of religious expression. We find such things in through immigration laws. This is not just statewide, it's countrywide, and it's worldwide. But the discrimination against small churches, and churches not being able to use public facilities in anticipation of getting a new church. There's all these kinds of migration refugee services that are not allowed. Christian students on campuses being restricted. I mean, the list is going on, and it's getting bigger. But of course, the great concern for us is right now the persecution and the slaughter, the murders, the martyrdoms of Christians in several parts of the world by radical groups in the name of religion. And we always have to be careful that we don't condemn a whole group of people because of the actions of a few. But we also need to say that we need to stop this. We need to join together as Christians, Muslims, Jews, and really join together and speak out against these things, because one day it's us, one day it'll be another. But everyone is called to live in peace, and that is a right that we have. So this time is really a time to focus on the problems that are there, to pray, to fast, to educate ourselves, to see where the problems are, and to see what we can do as the kingdom of God advances, to allow the kingdom of God to advance and not the kingdom of man and hatred to advance.
Thank you, Bishop. We thank you for your insights. And again, we wish all the fathers listening a very happy Father's Day. If you would close now with a prayer and a blessing.
Let's say kind of a spontaneous prayer for fathers.
Okay, so, all right.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, the gift of fathers is so beautiful because our fathers in many ways reflect your love, your strong love in our lives, the love that gives us direction, the love that forgives us, the love that welcomes us back when we do err. Bless all of our fathers today. Help them to be good fathers, knowing that they reflect your love in the lives of their children, in the lives of their wives, and their families. Bless us this day and give us the joy of having you as our God, whose heart is moved always. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.